Hey everyone, before we jump into today's episode, I did want to take a second to tell you a little bit about our new sponsor, Levity.ai. In freight, time is money and efficiency is key. That's where Levity comes in. Imagine automating your email operations to do more with less effort. Levity connects directly to your inboxes, extracting vital information from emails and attachments in real time. It seamlessly integrates with your TMS, empowering you to quote faster, build loads more efficiently, and book more freight in less time. Whether it's incoming emails from shippers or carriers, Levity's got you covered. It understands any language, any format, and even interprets non-standard formatting. Visit Levity.ai today to sign up and get started.
Michael Caney, Chief Commercial Officer at Highway. Hey, Michael, how are you today?
Good, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's too bad we're not at the WeWork in Chicago recording. That would have been nice.
I really thought like you had like got this whole like Joe Rogan experience. I was expecting Elon Musk to just like pop in and smoke weed with you at any minute. it looked so like legit.
Yeah, I love doing the in-person podcasts. They're definitely a lot more fun and we get more people involved, so it's a little more exciting. I actually was thinking of, like, I just moved into this new apartment. I was thinking about maybe like getting this apartment kind of set up for that. But like, you know, the digital, I guess, recording doesn't have that feeling like if you do in person. But what is interesting, I don't know if you ever listened to the Tim Ferriss podcast, but I was just listening.
Yeah.
I was listening to the one last weekend, and he was doing a walk and talk where it was his first podcast where he actually did it while he was walking. And it was not video, so it was just audio. And all he did was, and like he was doing it to kind of like advocate like walking, and because everyone sits at their desk all day, it's like, why don't you just get up and like walk for a little bit. And I like taking meetings walking, so I thought it was kind of cool. I might do that in the future, I don't know, but we'll see.
I like to do my one-on-ones that way, like if I'm doing it with my team and like, okay, I'm going on a walk, like, and I just have to give them a disclaimer like, hey, I'm either running and so I'm gonna be breathing like a fat man, or if you hear noise, like, and it helps, like it helps a lot cognitively.
It does.
I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah. There's those studies that show that walking and talking or like actually does like show more brain activity. Like your brain does operate better when you're walking. So there is science behind it.
Absolutely.
I guess this isn't like a science and health podcast. So let's get into freight. Michael, you've been at Highway for a while now. Highway's been like blowing up. It seems like everyone's talking about Highway. Everyone's using it. I've talked to like many brokers that use Highway. Everyone tells me they love it. Like, why do people love Highway? Like, what's going on with that?
I think there's a couple of different reasons. And it's funny you say a while. I've been associated with Highway almost 2 years. I've only been here like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. But you run a startup, man. Startups feel like dog years, right? You get a year into it and like you feel like it's been forever. I think there's a couple of reasons people love Highway. One, our stuff works, right? And you've talked to enough freight brokers and enough, you know, technology founders to know that probably better than 75% of what's out there is either a solution looking for a problem or promises unfulfilled, or, you know, maybe a lot of startup people try to tell freight brokers that like they know more than them. Like, hey, we know you've been running this business for 20 years, but we've figured it out. Mm-hmm. And they go raise money and they go try to shove something down a freight broker's throat. And so I think there's a combination of freight brokers are tired of that. And so our stuff works. Like it works. It does what the customer wants it to do. And so that's from the technology standpoint. But I think culturally, you know, like Jordan launched this company with three really specific brand promises. One is be responsive. Two is take responsibility for our mistakes. And three is own the outcome. And so we just try to live in this very high execution culture. And one of the things that we understand, and you know this, right, is brokers live at the speed of their inbox and the text messages on their phone. And fraud lives in the urgency, right? So fraud needs three things: urgency, or promise of gain, urgency, and anonymity. And so because that's where we live in the fraud game, we have to be responsive to brokers. Like we have to work at their speed. And so we try to create a feeling of, hey, man, we're on your side. Like we understand your business. We're going to respond to you when something, if we misstep, we're going to own it. And if we can own the outcome on something, like the release of our Outlook plugin, that's a problem that we saw brokers having. Like we can own the outcome on that. We can fix that. And so we just look for places where we can own the outcome and take a lift off a broker. And so my hope is that the reason people love Highways is because it's as much about an experience that they feel from us as it is the way the technology works.
Yeah. And, you know, with fraud, I guess, being like what everyone talks about these days in logistics, you know, the scammers are getting more and more creative. It's something that you got to be adaptive as a company to, like, kind of figuring out, being proactive and kind of realizing what's happening next. Like, what has happened, I guess, or what kind of changes have occurred in the last few months in terms of scams that, like, have, like, kind of, like, that Highway's been looking at to kind of prevent and make sure that your technology is actually preventing those?
You mentioned adaptive, and that's a really important word. And it actually, adaptive, outside of like Webster's Dictionary, it actually carries a lot of meaning in cybersecurity and threat monitoring, right? And so Highway, people call us an onboarding product, and we do some of that. Like, we would say onboarding is a feature of what we do, Paul. What we really do is create motor carrier identity and have a full comprehensive solution on identity and access management. And so there's three pillars of identity and access management: authentication, authorization, and capability. You can't do that at one single point in time. It has to be adaptive, because fraud vectors adapt and change. So we ask what changed, right? And why Highway has to be adaptive. And it's a combination of a couple things, right? One is looking at digital activity and physical activity. And two is like listening to the community, understanding, like, there are really good humans that track. And I mean, there's probably 10 people in this business that are really good at it. And so we just listen to them and try to proactively identify vectors. So adaptive, right? When we started Highway, fraud was pretty straightforward because it was pretty easy to get into a broker's network and steal and double broker. Like, it was pretty easy, actually. And you know this, right? There was a lot of double brokering that I would say was maybe legitimate, because in the COVID boom, like, you could take freight at $5 and sell it at $4 and still make money and deliver the loads. And when rates went down is actually when we saw theft and misdirection go up, because you couldn't make the same kind of money being a legit double broker. And by legit, I mean, you didn't steal it. Mm-hmm. Not legit, but I mean, like, you know, you were in the light on the contracting. So what we've seen is we've seen them hide more, right? We've seen them try to use more legitimate MCs for certain amounts of time. Like the big thing, and you've heard this, is there's more and more purchases of MCs where you're not actually purchasing the company. The going rate is $5,000 to $15,000, where I call you and go, "Hey, Paul, I want to buy your company. I'm going to wire you 10 grand. Just give me all your username and passwords and I'll take care of the rest." Yeah. And so what happens is someone can use, and so why does that matter? Because before Highway, it was like, what's your age of authority? How long you been in business? Do you have insurance? And you can take an MC that's been around long enough, and what they do is they use scripts to comb for pending revocations and insurance that's about to expire. And all they have to do is operate them long enough to steal something, and it looks good. And it only, they need 60 days. They need 60 days. And they can do a lot of damage. Like somebody that gets a hold of 10 MCs can do a lot of damage in 60 days, and nobody will know. Mm-hmm. Nobody will know. Because if you're not tracking the change in login with the email address, if you're not looking at any FMCSA updates, if you're not looking at small nuances digitally, these guys can do a lot of damage in 60 days. 10 MCs in 60 days is all they need to do, millions of dollars of damage.
Yeah.
And it looks legit. Yeah.
That's like the problem with, like, let's say Care for All One, right? Like, you don't get that right away. Like, I'm just kind of wondering, like, how does Highway monitor that? Like, let's just say, like, proactively. Like, how does that look?
Yeah.
Like?
So, I mean, I can't give away all of our tricks, but what I would say is there is a combination of the way an individual user behaves. And so here's what I would tell you and the public about fraud is it's actually gotten very elegant. So when you listen to, like, well, I go to all these, like, kind of regional, like risk management conferences that I never went to as a freight broker. I was like, we have a department for that. And it's like law enforcement people and guys and gals that started at their company like 10 years ago as like the packet person that's now somehow like graduated into this like full scale risk management professional just because of trauma associated with chasing double brokers and stolen freight. And you have to look at the nuances of how things of how things change. And what law enforcement will tell you is it used to be smash and grabs, and it used to be these very regional rings in parts of Kentucky and Chicago and Southern California and Miami. And you kind of knew what they did. And it was a very physical crime. And today, Paul, it's actually really elegant. Like, I hate to use that word for something that's so nefarious, but it's actually really elegant the way that they have blended cybercrime and the way it interacts in the physical world. And so at Highway, what we have to do is look at all of the patterns that are associated with the way trucks physically behave, because we can see that, and the digital activity. And so there are, what I would say is there are behavior patterns between digital and physical movement that are indicative of fraudulent behavior. And so there's rarely like a, this is absolutely a thing. It's more, we look at signals. So we look at associations, fraud alerts, insights, changes in contact. There's a variety of signals we look at. And what we kind of tell brokers is like, when there's a lot of noise in the signal, you just need to walk away. I don't need to tell you with 100% certainty this is bad. I can tell you that legitimate operators don't have this much noise in the signal. And you just need to go, you need to go find okay. something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that does make sense. You brought up like the buying of MCs. And I actually have a story about that, because I owned an MC, a brokerage MC, for like 6 months. This was November 2020 to like, I think, March 2021. So it was like 5 months. I had a partner in Chicago. We ended up like just splitting ways because I was doing something else. And I posted it back then, like on social media, like, hey, like on Freight Cab or Instagram, we had probably like 5,000 followers back then. And I just got bombarded with people wanting to buy that MC. And I was like surprised, because I was like, this MC is like 5 months old, and it was all just double brokers. They just all wanted to buy it. Mm-hmm. And like some guy was offering mm-hmm. me 10 grand. And I literally, like, I mean, mm-hmm. I knew he's in a double broker. And so I just didn't sell the MC. I just was like, I closed it. And I'm like, I'm not going to let, you know, someone, you know, destroy, like, especially since like my name would be on it, yeah. you know, like, so like, that's interesting. Cause, and you said that you've seen an uptick of that recently. There's been more mm-hmm. MCs. Okay. Especially with the down market, people are trying to get rid of MCs, legitimate yeah. MCs. So, okay. That's like something that you have to be on like look out for. And that's what Highway.
Yeah. You look at, yeah. And you look at, one of the things you just look at is there's no like singular. You'll listen to freight brokers talk, man, and they'll be like, oh, here's what we do. And they'll talk about like the one thing they do. And then somebody listens to it on a podcast or on a LinkedIn post. And then it's posted on the dark web. And they're like, here's what they're doing. And so it's dumb, right? There's no silver bullet. You have to look at it at a combination of things. But one of the things I can tell you is the criminals look, and Jordan's told the story publicly, they look for anomalies in data that they can exploit. So like somebody downloaded 3 million addresses from the FMCSA, right? And you have a technology company, you know this, right? You know, Christian probably generates scripts to correct obvious typos, right? Somebody will accidentally mm-hmm. put a one instead of an I in Gmail. Right? Oh, okay, well, there's a script to kind of auto-correct those things. Mm-hmm. Like people do that, it's known. What these cats did was they downloaded like 3 million addresses and ran these massive scripts to go, to detect what the email address probably should be, because the owner of the trucking company doesn't care if it's correct at the FMC. Like they don't care. It means nothing. I got to do my MCS 150 form. I got to register. And then I don't think about it for 2 years until they make me do it again. They mm-hmm. don't care. They don't care about the truck count. They don't care. And so these guys like corrected a ton of email addresses and then went and tried to register the correct email address and were successful. The most corrupt data set that we deal with at Highway is the FMCSA data.
Wow.
The last time we got the file of from the FMCSA and we started reconciling the changes in the deltas, by 10 o'clock in the morning, we had 60 open cases from carriers, because if a carrier has a claimed profile on Highway, we let them know about changes. We go validate that with them and for them. And we had 60 open cases in 2 hours saying, I didn't change my number. I don't know who did that.
Wow.
That happens every day, every single day. Hey, I didn't change my banking information.
So,
hey, I didn't.
I just want to get this like straight, just so I could make sure I understand it. So, let's say these scammers, they contact FMCSA to update like emails and phone numbers so that in the FMCSA registry, it shows the scammer's number or email address, so that like when say, let's say they want to scam a broker or something, it'd mm-hmm. be as if like that's like the correct information.
Yep.
That's what's happening. Okay.
Yeah, because Highway has about 500 brokers, right? And so we don't have them all. We have a lot of them, and we've grown.
Yeah.
And we'll add another few hundred this year, but we don't have them all. And most brokers, that's still most brokers that don't have Highway don't use a decision matrix. They use a very linear. They're looking at age of. They're checking boxes. They're using signals the same as we, but they're not looking at the interrelated nature of the signals, right? And so, authority, insurance, et cetera, call the number on the FMCSA. They call the number on the FMCSA, and criminal jerk number 7's like, "Yeah, man, it's me." Okay.
Wow.
And then when the load gets stolen, the carrier rep's like, "I mean, I called the number on the FMCSA."
Yeah.
Like it's that easy, dude. Like it's literally that easy for some brokers to get scammed. Like if you're listening to this and you're a freight broker, do not validate against the FMCSA. Like just don't trust it.
And
it's not right.
Carrier 411 gets its data from the FMCSA, right?
Well, they. I mean, look, I like Darren's business.
Yeah, I mean, I used to use Carrier 411 all the time. That's the only thing I use when I was a broker. So I'm just curious. Yeah,
Carrier 411's great. I'm just saying, like, you have to do additional validation. I mean, there's information in Carrier 411 you can look at. You can look at miles versus inspections. Like, they're
The state inspections are nice.
Yeah, like Carrier 411 is a really complete data set. You just have to do a lot of mental stuff.
Sure.
Like, if you're looking at Carrier 411, you have to be you or me that just knows what to look for. Mm-hmm. Like old school brokers, it's like in the Matrix, like when you just look at the green code and you just see things, like you can't, what I tell people is you can't train people fast enough because it's not one-off instances anymore. Like in a 7-day period, we'll have, you know, 300 users from 30 different countries try to access carrier profiles and Highway and fail. 300 users, 30 countries in a 7-day period. We'll try to gain control of a profile and Highway and fail. This is a 7-day period. So you can't look at 411 enough to keep up with it.
Yeah. When you say they try to gain control of a profile, they try to make it like their profile. Like that.
Yeah. Let's kind of talk about how Highway works, right?
Sure.
When people ask me, I mean, every single demo I do, how many carriers in Highway? And we just say, well, all of them. How many restaurants are in Google? All of them. How many houses are in Zillow? All of them. Because we're not this old kind of point solution where we rely on carrier signups. It's out there. Every DOT number, every IMS, it's out there. We consume it and we build a shell profile. So like if you buy a house in the United States, I think you've got properties all over the world at this point, but if you buy a house in the United States,
I have one, you can go to Zillow. In the States. Sorry.
Okay. Well, there you go. But you can go to Zillow and you can look at your apartment. And it's going to tell you all kinds of things. It's going to tell you when you bought that house. It's going to tell you the last guy that bought it. It's going to tell you the tax appraisal. And Paul, you've never told him anything. But you can claim that property in Zillow and say, this is my house. And Zillow is going to challenge you and ask you certain questions to prove that you're the actual buyer of that home. That's how Highway works. You have to come and say, oh, I am this trucking company. And we're going to go, prove it. And we have 80 different ways that we can challenge based on information that we see, not based on anything the carrier tells us. They have to satisfy the challenges, and it's adaptive and it changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is somebody will get into Highway and then they tell all their buddies, oh, I figured out how to get into Highway. No, you didn't. Like, part of what we want is for every bad actor to come sign up in Highway.
Okay.
Because we catch them and we put them in Highway jail.
I'm curious. Like, I just say, I'm not sure if you want to talk about this or not, but I'm kind of curious. Let's say a bad actor goes into Highway. You like, you know, capture that. Mm-hmm. Do you like block that IP, or like, how does that look like? Like, or do you not want to talk about that?
No, we can absolutely talk about it. Because if you're a broker, you can go look, right? You're going to see. So Highway, there's a badge in Highway, and it's a little H you've seen at the Highway Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gray, which means the carriers never claim their profile. It's yellow, which means they successfully claim their profile. And it's yellow with a check mark, which means this carrier has claimed their profile and they are contracted in my network as a freight broker. There's a ton of people that have claimed their profile and have lots of negative, what we would call insights. And a broker doesn't even have to make a decision. They just fail out of that broker's network. It's all automatic. Like, oh yeah, you claim this profile. You're definitely Joe's Trucking, and you definitely double brokered six loads, and you definitely have a brokerage at your same address, and you definitely have only ever accessed this profile from Serbia. Yep, this is definitely you. You're definitely a not someone anyone should do business with. So we're just going to automatically fail you out of hundreds of brokers. Thank you. Thank you for coming to Highway. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm curious for the brokerages and trucking companies that have the same address.
Yep.
And like, obviously, a lot of oftentimes there might be some brokering or double brokering in between those companies. Yep. How is that flagged? Because like, that could be also a customer of Highway. I'm wondering, like, is there like the system of like how to like maybe understand which are legitimate?
So look, again, go back to earlier we talked about signal and noise, right? I'm going to use this a crude analogy. You're listening to XM radio, Sirius radio, whatever they call it now. You go through a car wash, your radio is going to turn off for a minute. You drive through downtown Chattanooga, it's going to go in and out, right? It's about signal and noise. So if you pull up a company and they've got 100 trucks and their only insight is brokerage at same address, you're going to go, oh, that's legit. And you may, as a broker, choose to force them into a flow where they sign a co-broker agreement. You may choose to get them to sign, you know, a really specific acknowledgement about double brokering. Like, you can choose to it's Highway's dynamic. You can choose to deal what we would call low risk signals in a different way than, you know, Paul, one of the problems is people think everything's either all good or all bad. And that's just not the case. There are gray areas, right? And so what I would say is, if the only insight that pops up is brokerage nearby or brokerage at same address, look, that's a low level amount of noise, and you just need to go ask about it.
Okay.
Right. But if they got four double brokering insights, eight associated companies, a gap, like, it's like, okay, I see what's going on here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Okay. Got
like
it.
What the kids put on your like Instagram, like red flags. Like, that's what my kids do, like red flags. I'm in my 40s now, so I'm not cool anymore. But like, yeah, it's just, you're just looking for red flags.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
The more red flags, the more noise, more signals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Highway, like, what's like, for me, what I find, I guess, amazing about what Highway did is that, because like, all this is really complex. You're like, you're dealing with a lot of information, and you created a tool that like does it all. Because like, if you were to compare, like you became like a company that does like carrier verification, carrier onboarding, right? That's kind of like the gist of Highway. Beforehand, there were many other companies that offered carrier onboarding and carrier verification. And you came here like post COVID and like with a bang, just came out with this app that like really, like, in a way, you just took over the market. Like, you're taking over the market right now. But it's also like, when we talk right now, like, there's like a lot of complex issues that you're like fighting. Like, you're not like, this is like, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that Howie's is doing like nonstop. Like,
I mean, what I would say is like the thesis of Highway, like the place we get to is the same as when we launched it. Like, well, I mean, you should interview Jordan. He's one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met in my life. And he started Highway after running Triumph Pay, right? So running a payments business where he's like has a like legal and fiduciary responsibility to get things right. Like, Triumph Pay was owned by a bank. Like, you can't mess that up, Paul. Like, we do bad things to you in the United States if banks mess up, right? So one of the things that was incredibly important is the integrity of a user table. Who's the user? Who am I paying? What's going on here? And so, you know, in every other aspect of the world, we do basic KYC, know your customer, know your business, right? You don't fill out a mortgage, you got to answer questions. And so in the payments world, what you see is the downstream effect of corrupt user tables, really basic lack of identity. And so what Jordan saw is, I can't solve this going up. I got to go solve it a different way. I got to start at the top. I got to start at how the carrier first engages in any digital experience. Then everything flows down from there. And so the whole launch of Highway wasn't really to go do onboarding and insurance monitoring. But that's not, it wasn't like, let's go be a better onboarder. Like, that's not hard. That's actually really easy. Like, when you access Google and Calendly, like, that's how easy onboarding is. All that data is there and it just kind of flows through. Like, that's how easy onboarding is. What's harder is to do the verification of, is what's there true? So that's the problem we set to solve. And man, it was worse than we thought. Like, there are things that we thought would solve the problem. Like, we have ELD connections. Like, that's a known thing now. And we thought that would be a very magical solve. And what we've actually learned is it's now just another fraud vector. Like, there's carriers that'll go, and we have them now. We have a whitelist and a blacklist of ELDs, but they'll go try to create fake ELDs. Or they think it's like Netflix, man. They'll share ELD accounts.
Yeah.
Like, all you got to do is just enter an ELD in Highway and you can get in. Like, they think we're that stupid. No, we see you. Like, we caught you. You can't have the same truck tracking on four carriers. Like, you can't do that. It's not, you can't do that.
Like, I mean, scammers and people that are in this industry, like, doing bad things, like, they're always finding ways to, you know, circumvent, like, whatever there is that's blocking them. So it's kind of interesting. So, like, right now, is there anything that's like Highway is like looking at and it's like, or getting like hearing about, that is kind of like worrisome, like something new? Because, like, you did mention like the ELD stuff, and that's something I've heard recently as well, but that's been going on for a while now. But, like, is there something that, like, like, brokers right now should be aware of in terms of, like, oh, is there like a new scam, anything like that? Or has it more or less like kind of like calmed down like recently?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, the scams are out there. Like, I mean, if you want to get a really comprehensive bulleted list, I mean, go look at what Chad Eichelberger, president of Reliance, posted today. He's got a really good summary of kind of the big scams right now. The identity theft, right? What I would say, what brokers need to be aware of, the broker's biggest problem today, not biggest problem. Let me think about how to say this, Paul. The thing that brokers do to compound their problems is they try to help carriers pass. So for years, and I was a freight broker, so every system that's out there, I've used it, like, literally. And for years, what we dealt with on the carrier floor is carrier managers, or was, how do we get this carrier to be certified? Like that was the goal, is to actually get the carrier certified. And what we're saying is, hey, man, like, that's actually not your goal anymore. Like, they know that that's your behavior pattern. And you've dealt with this, man. Like double brokers, like, especially people from certain parts of the world, they're the best con artists that exist. Man, they can cook a story and create a shell company and tell you, oh, that's my cousin. And what we did is we got a trip lease and he's an owner op. Like, they know all the words, right? And some 22-year-old kid popping Zins and drinking Monsters in Chicago who wants to go hit the gong for a $500 ripper is like, yeah, man, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Right? And then they get in the chat and they message the carrier manager. And they're like, guy's got no freight guards. This report looks good. Dude, I can tell you. I can write the script for you. They know that. And so the worst thing that brokers do is help carriers pass. And so when we first built the customer success team, I got a ton of those emails. Hey, man, how do you help this carrier get through? And my response was, you don't. And then it was like, well, what do I tell the carrier? I was like, you don't tell them anything. You tell them they don't pass. That's the no is a complete sentence. No is a complete sentence. And the biggest thing, the biggest problem that we fight is people that are either trying to be helpful or trying to be heroes and look good, that go out and talk about this stuff. Like, if you don't think that there are people that are sending people to your conferences where you talk about this, like, you're wrong. If you don't think this is multi-million dollar international crime, you don't think that they're trying to embed people in your office, if you don't think that they're not offering gift cards and payments to gain access to things because we've made it harder, like, you're wrong. Like, it is very, very bad. It's very diabolical. And it runs very deep. And they catalog it and they screenshot. They will listen to this podcast and listen for me to expose a vulnerability. 100% guaranteed, especially with your audience.
Yeah. I have a lot like of that, scammers.
They will listen to this podcast. They will share it. They will try to figure out if I say something that they can expose. And I'll be intentionally vague because of that. Yeah. Like, I've turned users off for sharing screenshots. Like, you're not helping. Like, you cannot trust this carrier who's trying to figure out how to make their profile look a certain way so they can get through. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
And so, man, we could talk about all these different scams all day long, but I would say the biggest problem is allowing bad actors to gain intelligence. So here's what I fully believe with all of my heart, that there are companies that have built really good, legitimate looking shell companies. And they've papered up their associated MCs and they've made it look really good. And I can see that they operate on foreign soil. And the only way that cargo theft can go up 2,000% in 12 months is if there are enough actors with access to load information. I mean, Paul, they know where it picks up, where it delivers, people on the dock. They know the hours of the facilities. You don't gain that level of intelligence by like double brokering one load. You have to be in the network for a sustained amount of time. Then you have to share that intelligence with a whole list of MCs you're holding just to do bad things with. It's that big. And so what I would say is like, man, you're right. There's a ton of stuff that runs in the background. We have a fraud channel on Slack that's just lit all day long, where we're just looking at different vectors. Please don't make my job harder. Please don't tell the carrier how to pass. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would say. That's the big, brokers are their own worst enemy.
So I'm also curious.
Don't post all your loads on the internet. Stop posting all your freight on the internet.
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
But let's say there's like a new like scam ongoing and people like, you know, yep. want to like kind of like be vocal about it so that people could understand what's going on and maybe prevent it in their own company.
Yep.
Do you think people should stop like being so vocal about that? Like what's going on?
I think they should publicly. I think those are closed private conversations. And I think you have to be, vague. Right. I think like what Chad did is very appropriate. Let's talk about pilfering. Let's talk about intervention. Fictitious pickup, right? Where they're trying to intercept, right? And maybe mm-hmm. the driver doesn't know. He's not in on it. Right. We can talk about all these things. But when you get really specific about MC numbers and how, and then somebody is like, well, here's how smart I am, here's how I prevent it, and here's what you do. Dude, it's just like you've just given them the keys. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Is like somebody will post information and then you'll see comment sections everywhere where somebody's like, I want to be a hero. Look at me. Look at how smart I am. I'm going to tell you what we do to fix all that. Like, don't do that because that's what they're looking for.
Okay. So we've done that.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
It's like if your house got broken into. And yeah. you're like, well, here's what I did to protect my house. I have this keypad and we do this thing. And it's like, oh, now I know how to get into Paul's house. I know all of the things I have to be
sure.
to rob Paul. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Okay. Because like one of the reasons I'm asking is because like in our newsletter, like when people present us like with information, like we tend to like kind of write up about it and like also kind of offer yeah. like tips and solutions because we think that's like the right thing to do. But it seems like it's better to not be like so like vocal about it, right?
No, man, I think your newsletter, from what I've read of it, I think the tone is really helpful because like there are things that you and I talk about that we won't record, like that mm-hmm. because we're trying to sure. solve it, we're trying to understand things. Mm-hmm. And so I think the number one thing you can do when you're dealing with it's just nefarious people is just always be curious. Like mm-hmm. we'll find something in the next 7 days will happen that we didn't know was going to happen.
Sure.
Like this isn't public yet, but we're going to shut off 9,000 carriers in highway this week. I'm going to shut them off.
Wow.
Because we've been watching patterns and like, we now know enough to know these 9,000 entities are probably operating. And so we'll put them in a holding tank. And if those carriers want to come and do some things to try to self-heal, but we've got traps that they've got to run.
Okay.
And then the grand scheme, it's only going to affect a couple thousand connections across freight brokers. Like freight brokers may not feel it. So, Paul, what we solve for is 3%. Like 97%, like we've got it. But it's that 3% that costs you a few million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
We're only solving for a very small subset of the freight market.
Sure. I'm kind of curious because like with all this data that you have,
yeah.
have you noticed like, like the various pockets of like nationalities running like certain batches of MCs and like the interconnectedness of them, the groups, like that'd be so fascinating to see.
Yeah, we have. I hesitate. Again, here's the thing about sharing. If I say that there's a lot of activity from Moldova, some freight broker is going to say everybody in Moldova is bad, and that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say is that there, I mean, like, look, let's just be really politically incorrect for a minute. Convenience stores, dry cleaners, donut shops, right? There are nail salons, right? There are businesses in the United States that have and are great for first generation Americans that want to legally immigrate to this country and do well. And it's sad that some of those businesses are also exploited, and they make it difficult for legitimate first generation Americans to try to immigrate here. And like one of the last, I was talking to somebody about this last night on an airplane. He does big $500 million, billion solar panel infrastructure products. And these projects create lots of American manufacturing jobs. But his company is ultimately owned by a Chinese company. So the government is tightening up. And so it's this give and take, right? Like you want to create American manufacturing jobs, but you don't want to benefit, right? So how does that relate to trucking? Driving a truck is one of the last kind of bastions of, you can graduate high school, you can go to truck driving school, like you can make a fair living driving a truck. Now I want the truck parking guys to be successful. I mean, there's things that we need to do from an infrastructure standpoint to serve drivers. And so what I don't want to do is say everybody in Serbia is terrible. Everybody in Moldova is terrible. Everybody in Pakistan is terrible. What I will say is that it is a vector that can be exploited. Right? It mm-hmm. is a, there's enough cultural familiarity. And maybe you can explain this better than I can, but there's enough cultural familiarity where people that are not doing bad things can be influenced to do bad things, or can be influenced to give information that help other people in that same geographic proximity do bad things. Is that fair? Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
It's like in the United States, when we talk about gang violence or gang problems or inner city things, you have kids that become a product of an environment. They mm-hmm. didn't ask for it. They were kind of born, and it's all they know, right?
Yeah.
So just think about, here's what I tell my own kids. If you spend enough time in proximity to something, it's going to change you. Totally. So when I think about time and proximity in any geographic area where there's cultural familiarity, where things are bad, there is a high propensity for risk. There's a lot of opportunity. And so I don't want to like say in depth, like with certainty, that here's the deal. What I would say is there are pockets of the world where it's really hard to tell if somebody's good or bad.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're talking about lots of digital activity, hundreds of MCs at the same IP address.
Wow. I would love if Highway shared that data, just because it would be really good content, but I also understand why there's a reason to like keep that inside. And
I think there's a way for us to think about, and here's what I will commit to do, especially for your audience. Like, I love the things that you talk about. I think you serve a portion of the North American freight market in a way that a lot of other voices don't. I would be interested to try to help tell the truth and to try to help good people stay good and be aware. I think there are people that get duped into Breaking Bad that don't mean to.
Yeah.
I really do. I think a lot of what we saw was when the freight markets cooled, there were people that they didn't know how to run a business. They got into it. I mean, Paul, you've seen the MC starts and right. And then all of a sudden, like they had to make money. And I think in the interest of survival, they did things they probably wouldn't have done. Like, I really do think that.
Yeah. I've definitely seen that as well. You were just at a risk management conference now, right? In South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I'm wondering, cause like, you know, like everyone kind of has like problems or voices issues towards like the federal government, FMCSA, for not doing enough. Has the federal government done more in recent years? Like, have you seen any interest from their part, like how has that been? And where do you see maybe like the future lying in terms of like, will there be more interference or like more, I guess, help from the government?
Now you're going to get into my progressive conservative principles, but like, what did Reagan say? Like the worst sentence in the world is I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see some social media post about we obey the law, we're going to get the evidence, I just kind of roll my eyes and go, okay, man, like keep waiting on the government. Like it's not an issue that's going to get anybody elected. It's not.
Yeah. Okay.
Like nobody's going to watch a TikTok of Dan Crenshaw talking about cargo theft, but they'll watch a video of Dan Crenshaw railing about banning TikTok in America. Like this is the world we live in. So is the government doing something? I don't know. Maybe it's one of the most under-resourced divisions. That's why I hate this. Like roadside inspections is a magic bullet. You probably know legitimate carriers that have lost business because of that ridiculous rule. It's an important data point. It is a very important data point, but there are other ways to allow a carrier to prove who they are than just, you haven't had enough inspections. Like, Paul, there's like 200, 300 inspectors. I saw something recently. Let's get the community involved and get inspections. Like, okay, let me know how that goes. This isn't going to get anybody elected. It's not going to make, like, the Wall Street Journal is going to write a headline to throw the U.S. Postal Service under the bus. The U.S. Postal Service over the last year, because I've helped them with this, has undertaken so much work to improve what they do. The journal's not writing an article about that.
Huh.
So what I would tell you is the government going to help? Probably not. Because no one's going to get elected and it's not going to be a headline. And that's truly what I believe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now I'm on some list.
No, that was good. That was good. Well, Michael, I got to unfortunately wrap it up. I'm actually running behind in a meeting, but that was a great talk. I really enjoyed this. We'll have to do more of this. Well, if you ever want to join us on FreightCon Friday, love to have you on the live show.
I love Freight. That's a fun show. I actually quite enjoy the banter of that show.
That'd be awesome. If you want to join us, I could email you some dates in the next few weeks. We'll have Reed, Christian, and I. We could do some stuff over there, but Reed's going to Louisville right now. He's on his way to Louisville for Matt's.
Is he going to Matt's?
Yeah.
I need to go there last year. I have this dream to give away a truck at Matt's, a big black and yellow highway truck. Like I want to do that someday.
That'd be sweet.
It's one of the things we want to do is serve carriers. Well, we want to release the carrier proc. There's so many things we want to do, but I have this dream to like give away a big black and yellow highway Peterbilt to like the best carrier in North America somehow. Like I want to do a partnership with ISO. Like I've talked to like John and Brian about it. That's my dream. Someday I'm going to give away a highway truck at Matt's. I'm going to do that.
That's awesome. I love that. And if you do that, we'll definitely talk about it in Freight Caviar.
Yeah, we have the same color. Maybe we'll put Freight Caviar on it. Like maybe we can do like a big partnership thing where like,
I put
like
my sticker,
people that love truck drivers like get together and like give away a Peterbilt every year at Matt's. I would actually love to figure out how to do that.
That'd be amazing. Michael, I truly enjoy this conversation. You're a brilliant person, so smart. I just love talking to you. I feel like the way you just put everything together, you make it like it's easy to understand, yet it's like complex problems. And I truly enjoyed this. So thank you so much for taking your time.
Man, I had so much fun. I'd love to do it again. We can chop it up about freight. There's good things to talk about other than people stealing shit. We should talk about that sometime.
Well, I'm definitely up for that. And I'll probably be seeing you at TIA in a few weeks, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's make some time to get together at TIA.
Cool. Awesome. Sounds good, buddy. Michael.
All right, man.
Take care. See ya. Thanks for tuning in to the Daily Freight Caviar podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, or if you didn't, leave a review. Let me know what you think. I appreciate any feedback. If you'd like to have more Freight Caviar content, go to freightcaviar.com and subscribe to my email newsletter.